Daf Lamed Beis. Abchamah Rabbi Chanina says that because of these three psukim that say that Hashem put the Yetzer Hara in man, we have an answer to our judgment. We can say, Hashem, you put the Yetzer Hara in us, and that can hopefully mitigate our judgment a little bit. Rabbi Lezer says that Moshe also had a disrespectful argument against Hashem, because it says, Ve'et Palal Moshe El Hashem, Moshe Davin to Hashem, and we go like the Devei Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, who reads Al, says Ayin, meaning, don't say El Hashem, say Al Hashem, Moshe Davin against Hashem in a disrespectful way. But Devei Rabbi Yanai says, no, where was this disrespectful argument? It was in Dei Zahav, where Moshe told Hashem, Dei Zahav, where Moshe told Hashem that because of the excess gold and silver that Hashem gave Bnei Yisrael as they came out of Egypt, that's what led to Chet HaEgel. And we said, we brought in a few mushels of this, that a lion's not going to roar over a basket of straw, but he will roar over a basket of meat, because when he has this meat, that's going to make him go a little crazy. Rabbi Oshia says it's like a person who feeds his skinny cow really good food, and in the cow's excitement, it's gonna kicks the person, and obviously that's the person's fault for feeding the cow the good food. Rabbi Yochanan says it's like a person who spoiled his son with food and drink and money and all these things, and then he put his son in front of a brothel. How can his son not sin? Obviously he's gonna sin. Rabbi Shesha says, yes, the popular saying that filling your stomach is a type of evil, because when you have a full stomach, that can lead to getting a little crazy. Rabbi Yonasan says that, yeah, Hashem actually returned and he agreed with Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe, Lech Raid, go down. Rabbi Lezer explains that Hashem was saying to Moshe, Moshe, go down from your high position. I only needed you for Bnei Yisrael. If there's no Bnei Yisrael, then I have no need for you. Immediately, Moshe lost his strength, and he was not able to argue and daven to Hashem. But then Hashem said, Moshe, leave me alone so I can destroy Bnei Yisrael. And upon hearing this, Moshe realized that he actually had the ability to make a difference. So he strengthened himself and he davened for Bnei Yisrael. He realized that it was dependent on him because Hashem told Moshe he has to leave him so that he can destroy Bnei Yisrael. We bring a mashal that it's like a king who is angry at his son and he's striking him. And the close friend of the king is standing by watching, but he's too scared to say anything. Then when he hears the king say to the son that if my friend was not standing here, I'd kill you, the friend realized that it was on him and he was able to save the prince. Hashem said to Moshe, release me, and I will destroy Bnei Yisrael. Rabbi Abahu says, if there was no pasuk, we would not be able to say this, but because we have a pasuk that says, release me, we can say this, that Moshe was grabbing onto Hashem, just like a person who grabs his friend by their clothes. And Moshe said, Hashem, I'm not going to let you go unless you forgive Bnei Yisrael. Hashem said to Moshe, I'll make you into a great nation. Rabbi Elazar explains that Moshe replied back to Hashem, well, with a chair with three legs wasn't able to stand up against your anger, how can a chair with one? Meaning, you started off a nation with the zechus of three avos and Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and that wasn't able to be meritorious. That zechus wasn't enough to stand up and preserve and save Bnei Yisrael from your anger. How can a nation based off of just my zechus alone save like, you know, this future nation from any of your anger if they ever anger you, this nation that you'd be creating for me? And Moshe says, I'm also too embarrassed because the Avos are going to say, oh, I only care about my own glory for myself. I don't even care about Bnei Yisrael. And that's why I'm fine at letting them get wiped out and starting a nation for me. Rabbi Lezer says that Moshe stayed and davened until he was successful in his tfilos. Rava says that until he annulled Hashem's vow to destroy Bnei Yisrael. Shmuel says that Moshe actually risked his life while davening because he says, if you're not gonna, you know, listen to me, then erase me from the book. And he says that he was talking about the Sefer Chai, the Book of Life. Rabbi Yitzchak says that he caused the Midas Rachman, the mercy, to rest on Bnei Yisrael. The Rabbanan say that Moshe said to Hashem, it would be bad for you to do this, to kill the righteous with the wicked. And Abaye says that Moshe stayed until he was seized by Achilo, which Abaye says is a fever of the bones. Rabbi Lezer says that Moshe said to Hashem, you made a shvuah, you made a promise to the Avos in your name. And just like your name is eternal, you're eternal, so too your shvuah that you'd be with Bnei Yisrael, that you take the Eretz Yisrael and everything, that is all eternal. Now we quote a pasuk that says that when Moshe was speaking to Hashem, he said, you said that you would give them the entire land of which I spoke. So why does it say of which I spoke? Hashem's the one that spoke. It should have said of which you spoke. So Rabbi Lezer says, up until now, it was Moshe speaking, and now Hashem began speaking when he said, the entire land of which I spoke. But Shmuel Bar Nachmani says, no, both of them, it was both Moshe speaking, and Moshe was saying this, Hashem, you made me go tell Bnei Yisrael that you're going to take them to Eretz Yisrael. I spoke to them about that. Now, what should I tell them now? That, oh yeah, that God who promised you all these things, yeah, he's going to kill you. So we quote another pasuk that says, "Mibilti yecholas Hashem," because Hashem lacked the ability. So why does it say yecholas in the feminine? It should say yachol in the masculine for Hashem. Rabbi Elazar says that Moshe was saying to Hashem, "Now the nations are going to say that you're weak like a woman." And Moshe, and Hashem answers back, "But they saw all the miracles at Kriyas Yamsuf. They know I am all powerful." And Moshe says, "Yeah, well, you know, they could say against one king you were able to beat and you had the power, but not against the 31 kings of Canaan." So Rabbi Yochanan says, all right, yeah, Hashem eventually ended up agreeing with Moshe. So it says, "Vayomer Hashem slachti kidvarecha," and I forgive him in Israel according to your words. Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel says that Hashem also admitted that it's true that the nations would have said this whole thing, that Hashem was weak, had he destroyed Bnei Israel. Rabbi Yitzchak says that Hashem said to Moshe that through your words you kept me alive among the nations by not destroying Bnei Israel. Rabbi Simlai says that a person should always praise Hashem and then ask his requests, just like Moshe who praised Hashem and then asked to be let into Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Elazar says that tefillah is better than chesed, davening is better than doing good deeds, because Moshe, who is the biggest Baal chesed, was only answered through tefillah, not through just his chesed alone. Rabbi Elazar says that fasting is better than tzedakah. Why? Because fasting is done with your body, but charity is only done with your money. Rabbi Elazar says that tefillah is better than karbanos. He derives that through psukim. Using that same pasuk that Rabbi Elazar brought in, that tefillah is better than karbanos, Rabbi Yochanan explains that a kohen who has killed someone is not allowed to duchen, to do birchas kohanim. Rabbi Elazar says that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the gates of tefillah were closed, but not the gates of tears. Meaning if you daven, seemingly, you know, it will be much harder for your tefillahs to be answered, but the gates of tears, if you're crying to Hashem, those will go right through. Rava says that Rava would not declare a fast on a cloudy day, because there's a pasuk that says that Hashem made a cloud barrier separating him and Bnei Yisrael after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Lezer says that after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, there's an iron wall between Bnei Yisrael and Hashem. Reb Chanina says that if you daven a long davening, you will be answered. And we learn this from Moshe, who davened for 40 days on Har Sinai after Chet HaEgel, and he was answered. And clearly, if you daven for a long time, you'll be good to go. But Rabbi Yochanan has said that if you daven a long davening and you expect to be answered, then you're just going to suffer heartache because you're not going to be answered. And to cure this heartache, you should learn Torah. That will help with your heartache. How does that make sense? Rabbi Yochanan says that davening a long tefillah is not going to help you get answered. So we answered that if you daven a long tefillah and you expect to be answered, then you won't be answered. But if you daven a long tefillah and you don't expect that your tefillahs will be answered, then you will be answered. Rabbi Chanina says that if you're not answered in your tefillah, then you should just keep davening over and over again. We brought in a braisa that says there are four things that need a constant renewal of effort for you to be successful in. That's Torah, Maisim Tovim, good deeds, tefillah, and Derech Eretz. So why does the pasuk say that Yerushalayim cries out to Hashem, "Hashem, you've forsaken and you've forgotten me"? Why do we say both forsaken and forgotten? It's the same thing. Rish Lakish answers that Bnei Yisrael is saying this to Hashem. If someone marries a new wife, they at least still remember the first wife. They remember their deeds and things like that, but you've left and you've forgotten us. You've forsaken and you've forgotten us. That's the difference. So Hashem answers back to Bnei Yisrael, "The billions of stars in the universe were only created for you, and you say that I've forsaken and forgotten you? How could I possibly forget your karbanos and your firstborn animals that you sanctified to me in the Midbar, in the desert?" Bnei Yisrael answers back, "Well, since you don't forget anything, do you remember the Chet HaEgel?" And Hashem's like, "No, don't worry, I forgot about that." And Bnei Yisrael says, "Well, since you can forget things, did you forget about what happened at Har Sinai?" And Hashem said, "No, don't worry, that I didn't forget." We're going back to the Mishnah, which had said that the early Hasidim would meditate an hour before tefillah. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says, we learned that from the pasuk of Ashrei Yoshevei Secha, "I will dwell in your house." Only then it says afterwards, Yahalucha Sela, "After I dwell in your house, then I will praise you." So you have to meditate for an hour before davening. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says, you also have to wait an hour after you have finished davening to do a post-tefillah meditation. So then we asked, if the early Hasidim were waiting an hour before they would daven, then they would daven for an hour, and then they would wait an hour after davening. That's 3 hours, three times a day for three tefillos. So they're davening 9 hours a day. How were they able to preserve their Torah and make money? The answer is that since they were Hasidim, Hashem preserved their Torah and blessed their money. The Mishnah said that even if a king would greet them, they wouldn't interrupt their tefillah to answer them. Rabbi Yosef says this is only by a Jewish king, but by a non-Jewish king, they should certainly interrupt their tefillah because it's very dangerous. We brought in a braisa that says that if you're davening and you see a ruffian or a wagon coming your way, you shouldn't just stop your tefillah, but you should shorten it and then you should leave. you should leave. So that doesn't make sense, because we just said that by a non-Jewish king, if it's very dangerous, you should just stop your tefillah right away. And here in this braisa, it's saying that you shouldn't stop your tefillah, you should just shorten it and leave. So the answer is that if you're able to shorten it, then you should shorten it. But if you're not able to shorten it, then you should just stop right away and not worry about the danger. Not put yourself in danger. So he brought in a story that there was this chassid who was praying, and a non-Jewish officer came to greet him. But the chassid didn't interrupt his Shmona Esrei. And so when he was done davening, the officer said, "Why didn't you answer me? Well, I could kill you right now, and I would be right. I would be justified for killing you because of this major disrespect that you showed me." And the chassid said, wait, give me a chance to explain myself. If you were standing before a king and your friend came and said hi to you, would you answer him?" And the officer was like, "No, of course not." And he said, "What would happen if you answered this friend while you were meeting with the king?" The officer said, "They would kill me." And he said, "All right, so for you, you wouldn't answer and show a disrespect to a human king who's here today, gone tomorrow. Kal vachomer, all the more so, I shouldn't interrupt my tefillos, my conversation with the king of kings who's eternal, for a random person and show slight Hashem's honor." And the officer was appeased by this, and the chassid went on his way home happily and safely. Shkayach.